Welcome to the Chinwag Live podcast. Chinwag is an online community for digital marketing professionals, and Chinwag Live is our regular event series established to cast light on trends across the digital media industries. You can find out more information about Chinwag Live on our website, live.chinwag.com. This podcast was recorded at the inaugural Chinwag Live event, Wobble 2.0, on Tuesday the 6th of February 2007 in London. The event was sponsored by Exchange Team, a growing force in digital recruitment. More details about them can be found on their website at www.exchangeteam.com. That's www.xchangeteam.com. This portion of the podcast features Andrew Orlovsky of The Register.
Good evening. Hello, everyone. How nice it is to address an English audience for the first time. I've been living in San Francisco for 7 years. Every panel and meeting like this that I've addressed, I've seen the top of everyone's heads because they've got their noses down into a laptop computer. No one's paying any fucking attention at all. So that's really, really nice. I was looking for a snappy quote. Oh, first of all, does anyone not know who The Register is? Oh, that's great. Okay. In a nutshell, I'd like to... The way I think of The Register, and we've all got our own descriptions, in the words of the founder, John Lettice, if you believe all the opinions The Register espouses, you're Genghis Khan. So it's a very Catholic organisation, I think. I tend to think of The Register as at one end of the spectrum of technology criticism, and Wired magazine is at the other end. And they tend to think... Wired has a front cover which they really like to use probably every other month. This is the end of everything. We tend to think we don't dislike technology, but we just think most of it isn't very good. And we spend a lot of time thinking about how things can get better. I was looking for a snappy quote to try and introduce, is this a bubble? Isn't this a bubble? And the best one was supplied probably about 9 months ago by a friend of mine who did very well out of the first internet boom, and he has about $100 million to spend, and he's putting about $1 million into new startups. And I said, why are you sitting this one out? And he said, the big returns on investment are going to come from solving the really big problems that haven't been fixed yet, and Web 2.0 doesn't solve any of them. What do I mean by this? Well, is this a bubble or not? I'll go on to that in a second. I'll describe, is this a bubble, what's going to make it burst if it is a bubble, and then kind of do some very optimistic technology scenarios, which I think once we stop thinking about the web and focusing completely on the web and think kind of more broadly about technology, there's actually quite an interesting picture out there for all of you. Excuse me, I'll just refer to my notes. I can't do the spectacular confetti thing with Mike. Is this a bubble? I'd agree with both of the Mike and terrible with names, Dave, earlier in that this isn't a bubble on the scale of 5 or 6 years ago. That was the biggest loss of wealth in human history. This time round, I believe the figure is something like $500 million has been invested in web companies this time round, and people aren't losing their houses or their investments, or at least I hope they're not. There isn't the IPO market, so I think those points were really well made. So there isn't an economic bubble of any particular significance. I think there's a rhetorical bubble, though. I think we're at the kind of crest of utopian rhetoric, which we haven't really seen since artificial intelligence 30 years ago, when people confidently predicted that chess-playing computers would be here in a couple of years. 5 years down from that, we'd be enslaved to robots, who would nevertheless tuck us in at bedtime. This is the real problem with the web, and I've been trying to think and write, and our readers have been helping, why this is. Let me just give you an example of there's a difference in thinking when you're inside this web kind of thinking and one when you're out it. I did a little satirical, jokey, throwaway piece about Tim O'Reilly's definition of Web 2.0 because the poor bloke had about 45 attempts to try and define it, come up with this very blobby chart full of nebulous concepts. So I suggested five and invited readers to send in their own. Now, I look back at my computer 3 hours later. I was traveling on the East Coast. There were 600 emails. And boy, did people not like this. But within about 24 hours, there were 1,000 emails. One of them defended Web 2.0. And a lot of these came from infrastructure people. You could see this great wave of opprobrium going around the world. It started with the people who run the systems companies in the city. They don't like it for, I think, two reasons. One, it's... And web designers, please don't take this the wrong way, because it's a real skill. It's presentation layer people trying to solve infrastructure-level problems. And the internet has real big problems with spam. A utopian approach to building computer systems doesn't solve them. Tim O'Reilly had this wonderful phrase, radical trust. Now, that really got them annoyed. Anyone who has to run a firewall or a corporate system with security in mind isn't going to depend on radical trust. The other reason, I think, is that they see this kind of woolly Californian, it's very New Age rhetoric, which actually has its roots in some of the cults that started on the West Coast. They see this as this kind of woolly covering for the next wave of management consultants. Now, why does this appeal to people so much? I think it's because it is a genuinely seductive world. Things are really broken now. The media is owned by the same people who own the government. It's very hard to get a political consensus on something like even global warming. The web is seductive because it provides a kind of off-the-shelf belief system. You know, you could walk into a store and get a suit to measure. Well, look at what the internet provides for you. It provides an alternative media, the blogosphere. You never have to leave there. An alternative epistemology, an encyclopedia, Wikipedia. It's got its own alternative economics, the long tail. None of this has to add up. So I think it's very seductive, and I can see it appeals to people. People start to project their fantasies onto the web. When very, very realistically, the internet's a good thing. We can see what makes money now. Some of the fog's cleared. But I think once we've escaped the kind of utopian rhetoric, we will start to have much better computer systems, and there'll be much more realistic opportunities for growth in the future. Why do I think if this is a bubble, it will burst? Fundamentally, it's the same as last time. People expected us to buy dog food and have it airmailed around the country. The internet, there's a rhetorical bubble because people basically expect too much from technology. It can't solve problems that don't exist. A lot of the uses that people are expecting to generate downstream benefits from the internet aren't going to work even if you have a laptop strapped to your head the whole time. Where do I see the growth coming from? What do I see as other flaws of this? Well, let's go on to be positive, because then we can take everything up in the session afterwards. I see two really big pants. I knew that was going to happen. I see two really big waves once we've got over some of the crazy rhetoric that surrounds the web at the moment. And the web is kind of distracting us from both of these. One of these is I'm not altogether sure this is going to be a good thing, but it's going to come from RFID tags and what's called near-field economics. Now, I'm sure most of you have had experience with the Tesco's checkout thing where you spend far longer trying to wave things over a scanner. Well, the good news is you're not going to have to do that fairly soon, because you can walk out the store with your basket and your card will be automatically debited. The downside of that, as I'm sure you can begin to imagine, is that there's no human contact in this at all. The Tesco's will simply be a warehouse, and you walk in and you walk out with a basket. Pretty soulless experience. The other big change that I'd like you to think about, which will really transform, hopefully in a more positive way, is that there's a lot going on with compensation mechanisms for exchanging digital media at the moment. I was at the big music festival in Cannes, must be about digital media now, and there's such a lot going on behind the scenes to compensate artists for what currently is called piracy, peer-to-peer file sharing. We've barely begun to think about the consequences of this, and I'm confident that this will be the biggest positive boom in our lifetimes, because you'll be able to walk in here, and on your iPod will fill up with the jukebox from the playlist. The only reason we don't have this now is we don't have a flat fee, blanket license compensation mechanism in place. As a consequence, a lot of the technology utopians have this great big beef about copyright. It must go. Artists will have to work for free because, you know, we deserve it. We're geeks. This is, you know, obviously unsustainable, and it will end fairly shortly. I predict within 5 years, although France very nearly voted for it last year, from a top-down point of view, it more or less said, here's a fee on your ISP bill, you can swap as much music as you want, go and do it. But we will see this in 5 years' time, and this is maybe one of the few technologies I write about, which is actually truly social. It gets us out talking to each other. Most technologies we use as ways of avoiding each other. So anyway, more questions about either of those points, let me know afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast was recorded in front of a live audience. To find out about future Chinwag Live events, why not subscribe to our free newsletter at live.chinwag.com. Chinwag Live Wobble 2.0 featured Dave Nicholson, Ryan Carson, Matteo Bellucci, Andrew Orlovsky and Mike Butcher. Audience microphones were wrangled by Kim Ng and Patrick Kamara-Ropita. Door enforcement was provided by Thea Driver Security of Dartford. Sponsorship was handled by Hugh Evans and Thea Driver. The commissioning editor was Sam Michel. Chinwag Live was produced by Deirdre Malloy.